speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
I'm reminded of what one individual said some years ago, said any fool can be a father, but it takes a real man to be a dad. And we have some amazing dads here. And I know from time to time, the things that we do as fathers with our children can kind of be questionable in regard to the way in which they look at us, the things that they might say at one age or stage in life to where they grow as maturity comes along. Mark Twain once said, he says, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years." They do grow up, and they do see that we maybe have lived life and hence gathered some experience along the way, and especially as members of the Lord's church, that the things that we want is to lead them according to godliness. As we think about fathers and Father's Day, the Bible tells us that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. And while Mother's Day and Father's Day is a national holiday, something that we celebrate because man has brought it together, we also understand that it is a biblical concept, that our mothers and fathers certainly need to be honored. And to have a day where that we recognize them, there's absolutely nothing wrong with. When I think about fathers, dads, I want us to understand that God gives us some pretty awesome roles and responsibilities. In fact, as we begin today, I want you and me to think about what it is that we are leaving our families. What type of a legacy are we going to leave behind? Whenever you and I are gone, what is it that our families will remember about us? What will they say? But also, whenever it comes to the faith that we have, when you look at your faith and the faith that your family currently has, what will the faith of your family and my family look like 50 years down the road? You know, according to what God identifies, God tells us that He created Adam as the head of the house. Adam had the responsibility to be the leader over Eve and also over the children that they brought into the relationship. And friends, that was not only true for Adam and Eve, that continues to ring through today. Our God expects the husband to be the head of the house. He expects the father to take the role so that we will make the decisions that will be profitable for those who reside within our homes. But God also identified, as He charged the fathers of Israel to teach concerning His will and His way. The prophets of old were responsible for the conveyance of God's message unto the children of Israel. And the avenue in which God conveyed through the prophets is that God used the fathers then, the head of the household, the leaders of these homes, to then share the message with their children. And friends, we find concerning those of the Old Testament Scriptures that some certainly would have taken it very serious and would have followed through with what God expected of them. But yet as a whole, from the majority we find is that they let God down. They did not instruct their children according to the way of God. They did not give them in regard to what God expected them to teach them diligently. And fathers, you and I, we are charged by God today to make certain that we educate our children concerning His will. And we would do well to understand that when we begin to educate our children, it needs to be when they are very young. Why? Because they listen to us whenever they're very young more than whenever they become teenagers. Why? Because they are very impressionable at that very age where that they are listening and where that they are wanting to mimic everything that we say and everything that we do. And for that reason, we need to take advantage of the opportunities that we have whenever they're young. But also, we need to continue to educate them concerning God's way. Why? Because the world is working to teach them concerning the way of Satan, to teach them contrary to what God expects. And we need to do our part as God commands us, as God challenges us or charges us, as fathers who want to glorify God, to make sure that we train our children according to the standards of New Testament Christianity. God commands us to understand that our children are amongst some of the most valuable possessions that we have in this life. And I say amongst. The church family is one of the greatest possessions or opportunities that we have in life to be associated with those of like precious faith. But then in like figure, the wife. Our wife needs to be the very friend that we have sought for throughout the entirety of our life. And we need to connect with our wife in such a way that we love them, not only to the point where we married them, but to the point where our love continues to grow to abound so that the children will see this. And then when we think in regard to the children being a great prize or possession, the Bible identifies to us is that they are indeed being trained by us. And we need to understand the opportunities that God lays before us to instruct them and to live before them in such a way that would glorify and please our Heavenly Father. And also in such a way that would train them so that they would be able to be productive citizens in this world, but friends also so that they would be able to be productive citizens in the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. And with hopes then of being able to dwell eternally in heaven with our God someday. As I think about fathers, I think about what the Apostle Paul said as he wrote to the saints in Thessalonica. And the way in which he looked to these individuals, he considered them as his children in Christ. He dealt with them as a mother would deal with her children and also as a father would deal with his children. And he deals with this in the context of the way in which I want to make an application to our lives today. Fathers, dads, we have a physical role with our families to show our families that indeed they mean the world to us. In the context here, Paul said that he cherished these individuals. And what does it mean to cherish? It is to hold a great value on someone or on something. It is to have a high regard for, again, someone or something, or to esteem very highly. And what is it that Paul is saying? He says that he cherished these individuals as a nursing mother cherishes her children. That's the way that the Apostle Paul looked to these individuals. And dads, we need to look to our families, to our wife and to our children, and to cherish them. The word cherish in the original language carries an idea with special effort to protect and to provide for. Isn't that what a mother would do for her children? She is there to always to protect them and to make sure that they have everything that they need in life. And Paul says that this was the way in which he worked amongst the saints in Thessalonica. And fathers, dads, we need to work amongst our children to show them that they certainly mean everything in this world to us. But in like figure, we need to speak verbally to express exactly how much we love and appreciate our children. In the same context of Scripture, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul says, affectionately longing. And if you look at the original language, it is in the masculine sense, and it's masculine tender. Well, what does that mean? When we think about masculine guys, we want to think about this guy who's big and rough and gruff. But yet, it's interesting here in the original language that he says tender. So, not only are we to present ourselves in an authoritative way, but we also need to present ourselves in a tender fashion from time to time. And in this, as we consider this affectionate longing, it is a yearning for, a fond desire for, or a desire to feel a need. What is it that Paul is trying to identify? What is the lesson that we need to learn here in regard to telling our families how much we love them? Our heart's appetite is to provide for the good that is always there for our family's needs. What does that mean? Then it means that we express our love for our families. And then in like figure, it means that we're doing all that we can to show our families how much we love and appreciate them. And it doesn't mean that we buy them everything under the sun, but what it means is that we sacrifice ourselves and we do whatever we can to spend time with them to make sure that they understand just how important they are to us in our lives. I was online reading last night about this prominent attorney, and he said that one of the greatest gifts that he received from his father on Christmas was a note card that said, "I'm giving you 365 days this next year, an hour a day for 365 days this next year." And he says his father kept that, not only that next year, but every year after, giving that child an hour every day throughout the course of the year. And he says that he passed that on to his children. Men, we need to give our children time to let them know exactly how much we love them. But then also, we need to labor diligently to supply for the needs that our family has. In this, Paul, again, if you go to the context of verse 9, he says, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, and laboring night and day." Paul says that he labored, and that is to work. To toil means that it becomes hard from time to time. It was very difficult. Why? Because of the persecution that Paul faced. Why? Because of the hours that were involved. Note, he says, "I labored night and day." And dads, we need to make sure that we're not a deadbeat dad. There are so many in this world who are deadbeat fathers who will not work, who live off the government, who go around smooching off of everybody else, and then they take it home as if they've earned that for their families. And friends, that's not what God identifies. God says that the man must work, and those who will not work for their families, provide for their families, he says that they're worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. What God says, dads, is that we need to 100% of the time give ourselves 100% of the way to making sure that our families have food on the table, a roof over their heads, and clothes on their backs. By all means, there's absolutely nothing at all wrong with giving them even some of the luxuries of life, the things that make life comfortable. We need to do our part to make sure that physically we are meeting the roles and obligation that God lays before us. But dads, also there is a spiritual role, or multiple spiritual roles, and I've given three this morning in the lesson. We need to invest in our family's understanding of God. If you note the context here, Paul identifies here is that he himself poured himself out with the proclamation of God's will unto these individuals as the spiritual father that he was representing. And what does it mean that we need to invest in our families? It means that we need to share God's word with them. It's not enough. It's important. It is commanded of us. It's not enough, though, that we just give as Christians to the church and that we help missionaries and that we support the preacher and that we spread God's word and as a congregation. That is indeed a very vital part of our role as Christians and as fathers in our homes. But dads, also we need to focus upon our families to make sure that we are doing what God would expect of us and what we ought to aspire to do, to share God's word with our families and maybe to create devotional times, times that we can sit with one another and to explain and to discuss the Scripture in a very thorough manner. And this will do a number of things. If we will invest in our families, number one, we're going to be able to share the message and to reveal what it is that God says concerning His plan of salvation, and then to show what God wants us to, how God wants us to act in our lives. But then in like figure, it shows how important it is to the family. And we start traditions. Traditions that hopefully these children will carry forth and help them in their education of their children then, as they would also grow. But dads, also, I believe that God wants us to understand that we need to let our families see God living through our godly lifestyle or godly behavior. The Apostle Paul lived an exemplary life to show these people how they were to live godly. Note what he says here in the context. If you note verse 10, he says devoutly. He had lived a devout life in the presence of these individuals. And what does devout mean? It means pure and holy before God. there was nothing questionable as Paul would have stood before God in regard to the way in which he lived. Why? Because he understood that God is holy, and as a result of God being holy, hence he himself was to, in like figure, live a holy and acceptable life in the sight of God. God says as much to you and me in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through verse 17. God says, I am holy. You therefore be holy, just as I am holy. Also, though, in the context, Paul used the word justly. And the word justly here means to be upright or honest in relationships in regard to the way in which we deal with every other person in this world. Paul says, not only do you see the way in which I behave myself before God, but he says, you've seen my way of life as I've lived in the sight of everyone else. And Paul then goes on to identify, he says that we've stood blamelessly before you on the account of the way in which we've lived. The word blameless here does not mean that Paul never made any mistakes. And dads, you and I know, and mom will help to secure this, she will back this up. We're not perfect men, amen? And in that, we will make mistakes. But to be blameless or to live blamelessly means is that there's no justifiable accusations. We make mistakes, but then we do everything that is within our power to do. We go the extra mile. We can go out of our way to correct our faults so that we will indeed be able to live a righteous life in the sight of God, but then also as it would pertain to our families. And then dads, in like figure, I want to encourage each and every one of you, as I believe and as I know you, is that you will continue, that you will move forward in encouraging your families to live their lives in Christ each and every day. Paul said that he exhorted them, he comforted them, he charged them. In what way? Why did he do these things? That they might walk worthy of the calling of our God. And fathers, that ought to be our goal, our aspiration in life, is to lead our lives in such a way that we will help to lead our families not only to be successful in life, but that they will stand faithful before our God, our Creator, in the day of judgment. I read something this last week that I want to share with you in closing. Dad, you're very special. A family decided that they were going to purchase a young puppy. They had talked about it for some time, and the two children were really on board for it. The mother was a little against it because she said, no, it'll be like everything else. I'll end up taking care of it. And the kids all said, no, Mommy, it'll be different. We'll help you with the dog. And the dad says, oh, come on, give in to it. You know you want the animal just as much as they do. I'll even help feed it. And she looks at him and says, yeah, right. I believe that. Well, finally, she gave in to purchasing the little dog. And they named the little dog Danny. And for a little while, everyone did well with Danny. The kids were there to give him a bath. The kids were there to take him outside. The husband was there to help feed. But after about a month or so, all that wore off, and it was just like what Mom suspected. Finally, she decided she was going to put an ad out on Craigslist to see if she could find another home for Danny. And she did. There was a nice little family, kind of like what hers is. They said, we would like to have a little dog. And she says, well, this dog is potty trained. This dog, we spent some time with it, but it's become my responsibility. And says, it's a great dog. I just wanted to go to a nice home. And the recipient said, we'll give it a nice home. So she thought, well, I've got to break the news to the kids. She says, children, I've decided it's time for Danny to go. One little child broke out in tears and says, oh, Mommy, why? We'll miss him so much. And the other child was just hysterical, crying more than what you could imagine, says, Mommy, no, please, what if he doesn't eat so much? What if he doesn't make so many messes? What if he's easy to live with from this point forward? Mommy says, children, no, I'm sorry, but Danny has to go. And the kids, with great relief, looked at Mom and says, whew, We thought you said daddy. Dads, you're very special. You're loved by your families, your children, your wife. God gives us great roles to play. Let's use those roles as God charges and glorify Him and build our families in such a way that will lead them to heaven. If you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's Church, we want to challenge you with where you would stand before God. If you understand that you have sin in your life and that you want to have that sin forgiven, and you come to that understanding that the only way in which you can be forgiven is through the blood of Christ, God calls you today to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and then to walk worthy of the calling of which you've been called. If you're here today and you are an Aaron member of the church, we would love to be able to pray with you and for you also.